meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. Father Tom Kois here, as is our custom on Wednesdays. We call them Brain Wrinkling Wednesday. Indeed, indeed, I'm sure it will be, and I'm kind of excited again.
Just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, that's the getting ready to have your brain wrinkled. excited about today's show. Good friend through our precious Catholic faith. He is, in some sense, something, at least in my lexicon, he is something of the burning bush that Moses encountered as he was called by God to go and free his people. The reason I say that is because Moses looked at the burning bush and thought it strange. What? A bush on fire? But not being consumed? The reason I say that as an introduction to my friend, some of you may know already, Mickey Straub. Mayor Mickey, many people know him as Mayor Mickey, and he's with us here in studio. And the reason I refer to that image from the Old Testament is because being a mayor, that means he's a civil servant of sorts, what many people call a politician. Which is, unfortunately, oftentimes a diminutive term. But when you meet a politician that has strong faith in Almighty God, and especially, and what we're going to hear about is his love for the Blessed Mother, beautifully enough. So the fact that someone with a political life has a very strong Catholic faith is, in a certain sense, the burning bush. What? A politician with strong faith? He's burning with faith for God, and yet he's not being destroyed? Okay, so how's that for an introduction, Mayor?
Oh, Father Kois, that was great. It's just an honor to be here, and it was an honor to actually have a chance to meet Father Anthony.
Father Bush was just in the studio here, right?
Yes, it was unbelievable. But I would like to clarify one thing. I'm no longer technically a mayor. The nickname has stuck. Kind of like you're called Father Tom a lot of times. I was called, yeah, Mayor Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny. I was just a politician.
Right. This is the.
You know, I remember I was mayor for about 6 months, and someone heard I was a mayor, and they came walking over and said, "Oh, you're a politician."
Right. That dreaded
word. Did I get some on me?
Don't use that word.
And then I said to them, "Let me get this straight. I've been a businessman for 25 years and a mayor for 6 months, and now I'm a politician." No, I'm first and foremost a Christian, a Catholic, and I always try to put my faith first.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a challenge for, I think, everyone, whatever their business is, whatever their career is, to make your faith affect what you do in your business, in your work. It's true for a car salesman. It's true for a computer technician. It's true for a politician. And so, anyways, I've gotten to know. I'm just going to use the term Mary Mickey, even though you know, I don't want to say former Mary Mickey. It just sounds better. But anyways, I've gotten to know you through our church and what have you. And you told me a story. This is the month of October, although some people may be listening to the podcast and it may be a different time. But anyways, we're still in the month of October. So October is a month especially dedicated to the Blessed Mother, as most of us probably know. And you told me about a vision or an inspiration or a, I don't know if we'd want to go so far as to call it an interlocution, but what were you inspired to do, what'd you say, back 2012?
Yes.
Can you tell that part? Let's just jump off with that.
Sure. It was on November 11th, 2012, and it felt like it was yesterday.
Feels like it was yesterday. It's Veterans Day.
Veterans Day, and I'm a huge lover of country. I'm a patriot. I was a civilian with the Department of Defense and have a great love for that. And I just, Veterans Day is a huge day for me. So is the number 1111. And on that day, I went down to my living room, which turned into kind of a reading room. And I had this kind of epiphany that I was to pray the rosary every day for 365 days. What was interesting, I wasn't told to do it for a year. I was told to do it for 365 days.
Really?
Which, of course, interesting. Would go from, you know, November 11th to November 11th. And I had never prayed the rosary before.
Wow.
Cradle Catholic. I maybe prayed, maybe one time I went through the Hail Marys and Our Fathers. But I knew nothing about it. Nothing about it. And I had just picked up a book at a Marian Center about, called Pray the Rosary, the Our Father Peyton. And that was what sparked it. And I learned so much about my faith in that first year and about our prayers, about the Hail Marys and Our Fathers that most people don't know, most priests don't know.
Yeah.
As you said, I'm on fire with my faith. After that first year, I couldn't stop. And this November 11th, it'll be 7 years that I pray the rosary every day.
Let's keep it going. And, you know, you inspired me in a recent sermon I gave because we were talking about a little book you want to put together about learning and using and praying the rosary. As a matter of fact, I think if some of my listeners might remember, I mentioned you when we talked about, you put together another little book about visiting 50 capitals of the 50 capitals in the United States and reciting the Gettysburg Address on the Capitol grounds of all 50 capitals throughout the United States. And there's a little book you have on that. It was when you mentioned that, I'm a big Abraham Lincoln fan, and I think the Civil War is essential in understanding and appreciating the issues, topics, and the drama that went on in that part of our country's history is essential in understanding who we are as a country, really. I think I've mentioned this before to you and to other people. I think we're going through another kind of civil war presently.
Yes, we are.
In ideological and spiritual and moral categories, all sorts of things. So, but when you told me that you did that Gettysburg Address thing, I thought, this is a guy I want to get to know. So we have gotten to know each other a bit. And that you are also, you also have a book called about big goals with short time. Big goals, short deadlines. And of course, there's a priest that caught my attention too. And that's part of your business life, part of your business world. And we'll get to that a bit, but we're going to concentrate on the rosary here. But all these things, and one of the books you're contemplating is about levels of praying the rosary, and I wasn't sure what you meant by that. But that what it's like the first level. You inspired me in a sermon recently because I said, you know, people that don't pray the rosary use a lot of excuses, and one of the excuses you could use for not praying the rosary is you don't know how to do it.
Oh, no!
Yeah, you say, oh no, that's tragedy. You know, there's things called mysteries of the rosary. They're hard to memorize. They're hard
but
to
wait,
get in order.
More.
Yeah, there's lots more. And then there's the what I sometimes call the trimmings. You know, the Litany of Loretto, the Hail Holy Queen. Of course, they begin with the Apostles' Creed. And there's a lot of other things attached to the rosary. And if you don't know those things, I confessed in that sermon a few weeks back that my friends, I'm a priest for how many years? 35 years. And I still sometimes get the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter how good of a Catholic you are, that's an easy thing.
Yes.
You're praying along the Nicene Creed and one phrase goes into another. And then you'll notice if you're in a group that one people are saying one part of the... you just suggested that, you know, forget about, just start. All you really need to know is the Our Father and Hail Mary. I think that's what you were saying. And you even said that's how you started, right?
All right. Yes, sir. That's why I started praying the Hail Marys and Our Fathers, but I realized that about the Apostles' Creed, I didn't know it started with the Apostles' Creed beforehand. And
yeah.
I didn't know anything about the mysteries. But a couple of things I was really just really excited about learning, especially sitting here in the at a Polish church, is the role that Pope John Paul, Saint Pope John Paul II, did.
Yeah, his feast day was just the other day.
Yes, and he added what's called the Luminous Mysteries, and it's a lot of times non-Catholics kind of criticize us for not following Jesus enough or knowing the Bible enough, and I noticed that, and he did something. It was absolutely enormous for the faith. He added the luminous mysteries, which are the mysteries of light,
right,
about Jesus' public life. And I learned more about Jesus between that and reading Bishop Fulton Sheen's Life of Christ than I have my entire Catholic life.
Wow.
So all one really needs to do is start, to your point.
Yeah.
And to do not be afraid, as John Paul II always said, don't be afraid of the rosary. You're always going to find somebody that knows more about it than you do. But you start out slow. I like to crawl, walk, run. Start out, seven levels of rosary prayer would be, you know, crawling, walking, and running. And you start out with just the Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and you add, the short story is you add more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the rosary is like life in general and relationships. The more you put in, the more you get out.
Yeah. You know, an interesting little detail of the story of Fatima is the when the children
just wrinkled my brain, man.
That's I count, Mickey, just so you know, Nick and I play a little game in a sense, and I consider a successful show and I wrinkle his brain at least three times. I don't know, we're at two and we'll see. Anyways, but one of the interesting details about the story of Our Lady Fatima, when the children were out tending their sheep and everything, and before Blessed Mother appeared, they called it the shortcut rosary, where instead of saying the whole Hail Mary, they would just say, one person would say Hail Mary, the other person would say Full of Grace, then go to the next bead, Hail Mary, Full of Grace, Hail Mary, Full of Grace. You do that ten beads. Of course, you'll do a much faster rosary, and I'm not suggesting that that's what you do, my friends out there, because it is funny the way we. You can start crawling and then mm-hmm. running, you know.
And there is no really right or wrong way necessarily. And I remember talking to a nun out in the Diocese of Joliet, talked about how she prays it walking around the grounds. Or I like to pray the mysteries in chronological order as opposed to how it's posted, so that.
Yeah, I don't think that's an infallible teaching that you have to do. The sorrowful mysteries on Friday, the joyful on Saturday.
Because to me, it just didn't make sense. I'm kind of an analytic, and if you think about it, they're out of order. So I like to start with joyful mysteries. It's really, you know, conception to age 12,
right.
And then transition to the luminous mysteries, which are Jesus' public life.
Public life.
Which is age 30, 33. And then the sorrowful mysteries, the Agony Garden to the crucifixion. And then the glorious mysteries, the resurrection to the crowning of Mary's.
I have to admit, I like that too, because I never really had written down in concrete or carved in rock. Those days with the different mysteries, and I find the chronological order easier to follow too. Whatever I did yesterday, I did the joyful, so now I'm going to do the luminous. Although luminous stands out on Thursday for me, because Thursday is the day of Holy Thursday, the day of the institution of the priesthood. Thursday is usually my day off. And so there's something special about the luminous on Thursdays for me. But be that as it may, I don't think that's a huge issue in terms of if anybody is praying the rosary and doing different mysteries on different days. God bless you and go for it.
Well, if you do it the standard way, it's really you're doing it like everybody, all your Catholics, and that's tremendous strength in that.
That,
and you feel like you're together with them.
Yeah.
But being Polish, I like to pray the Luminous Mysteries twice a week.
Yeah.
Because John Paul added them.
There you go. And you know, speaking of this mystery thing, there was a trouble we had with one of our teen clubs when we would do the rosary. And the teenagers didn't like the sorrowful mysteries. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get together and we'd say, okay, well, which mysteries are we going to pray? Or we usually got together on Sunday nights and we'd do the glorious mysteries or whatever. But then they would say, we'd say, which mysteries? Oh, let's do the sorrowful. No, I don't like the sorrowful. And I think that's indicative a little bit when you don't want to meditate on the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to meditate on the crucifixion. You know,
good point.
Because in a certain sense, the young people do have that strong self-esteem, in the sense of, I'm not going to think about my sins. When you think about the crucifixion, you can't help but think, you should think about our part in the crucifixion, namely that Jesus died for our sins. That means you should be filled with a little contrition, a little sorrow. But young people have been almost taught by other catechists, by other teachers, maybe by even priests and sisters that are doing things. They're saying, don't concentrate on the negative. Concentrate on the positive. That's kind of the meaning behind.
I don't know if it's just them, because I felt the same way.
The sorrow. Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I didn't.
Interesting.
The sorrowful mysteries are painful.
If you pay attention.
I mean, agony garden, scourging of the pillar, crowning with thorns.
Yeah, indeed.
You just wrinkled my brain.
Well, with that wrinkled of brain, we'll come back and I want to ask Mary Mickey. You said before that if it wasn't for praying the rosary, you might not have gotten elected or.
Oh, absolutely.
I want you to. I got to tell our listeners about that part. This is the month of October, and we're talking about trying to increase our devotion to the Blessed Mother and how beautiful it is. Anyways, my friends, you are listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change. This is AM 750 WNDZ.
Join us for the Medical Professionals Mass on Sunday, October 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. A special blessing will be given for all medical professionals through the intercession of our parish patron, St. Stanislaus Kostka. Invite all those who work in medical professions, whether among your family or friends and neighbors, as well as your personal doctors, plus those who work in their offices, to the Medical Professionals Mass Sunday, October 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
If you live in the city of Chicago, aren't you a little tired of not having your child in school? If this is you, please listen to the following announcement. St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, by our highly educated and dedicated teachers, your gifted child will be at a higher and deeper level of thinking and conceptual understanding, so they will have a full comprehension of what they're learning in any subject. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent, learn, lead, love. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're talking about trying to get closer to God through the rosary. It's the month of October, and I have a friend in the studio today, Mayor Mickey Straub, former Mayor Mickey Straub of the western suburb of Burr Ridge. Some of you might know Mickey. He's been around the block a few times. Actually, being around the block, I have to remember. I don't know if I mentioned it in the first part of the show, but you went around all 50 states. I think I did mention that.
Oh, yeah, 50 capitals in 50 days. I went around the block a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. A very interesting thing to do on your bucket list and a great experience. And part of that, I guess it will dovetail back into the rosary and the place it has played in your kind of a, I don't know if I want to call it a conversion, but a strengthening an elevation, but
absolutely.
When you were going to the state capitals, interested in Abraham Lincoln's influence and the Gettysburg Address and the meaning of that incredible speech, you soon became aware that it would be good to look for references to God in the different political. Whether it's paintings, whether it's inscriptions, whether it's monuments and all that. And that pushed you to want to get closer to God, I would have to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I remember.
Yeah. You said before, too, maybe without the rosary, you may not have stayed the course and stayed mayor.
Absolutely.
Most people wouldn't connect the two. Where do you attribute the intercession of our Blessed Mother?
Well, let me just digress a little bit that at the end of the last day of the trip, which is just anniversary was last week, the end of the day, when I crossed that last state line between Wisconsin and Illinois, I had this other epiphany that my priorities needed to be God, family, country, not the other way around, like they had been in the past. And I was putting country first. And I needed to put God first in my life and if I wanted to take care of my family, I needed to take care of my business. And if I wanted to help the country, I needed to help the country put God first. That was kind of an aha moment that I had.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward a month later, when I woke up on November 11, 2012, that I was supposed to pray the rosary every day for a year, that was coincidentally the same month that I was tapped on the shoulder to run for mayor. Of Burr Ridge,
someone tapped you on the shoulder.
Literally, right?
Were saying, "Why don't you do it?"
Well, there was actually the outgoing mayor, who's now the current mayor, Mayor Gary Grasso, had suggested that I always knew I wanted to run for public office since I was 12, and he had a goal of getting a new bridge across I-55, the County Line Road Bridge. It was teed up, but it wasn't financed or approved yet, and he felt that the other candidate, if he was the only trustee, he was the only one who voted against the bridge, that if the other candidate who was a walk-in, who was already appointed acting mayor, was going to be appointed acting mayor, if he was to be elected, we have no bridge.
Oh, well, that must have been a catalyst for that whole shopping and living. If our listeners could picture in their mind, if you go out I-55, County Line Road out there, it's a big, beautiful,
wonderful
shopping area.
Wonderful.
But without that bridge, it wouldn't have happened.
Actually, on the contrary, the shopping center opened up in 2007.
Ah.
But it was on its back in 2012 because of the economy plummeting. And I felt a new bridge would help brand Burr Ridge and as an upscale community, because it's the nicest bridge. It's the nicest bridge across any interstate in Illinois. We paid extra for the bricks, the lights, the BR. It was through the concerted effort of the village staff, Public Works Department, IDOT. It is, but we funded it, I knew that bridge could help people realize that Burr Ridge is a very special place. It keeps up to its nickname, or its slogan, and it would help the Village Center succeed. But there's also a second reason why I wanted that bridge. That's because Burr Ridge is in the shape of an imperfect cross, or at the minimum, it's stamped with a cross. If you look on a map, the two main arteries run north and south as County Line Road, and east and west is I-55 at an angle, as if to remind us of our own imperfections. Mm-hmm. And one of my other goals for running for mayor was because I wanted to build the bridge at the center of the cross.
Yeah.
And that was kind of how it all started. And it wasn't my plan. It just happened that way.
Yeah.
But going back to when when I started praying the rosary, if it wasn't for the rosary, I would not have remained as mayor because of all the pressures that you get and you're under. And Blessed Mother talked me off the ledge many times.
Yeah. You know what? Just talking with you here, and some of our listeners know the name, Kevin Matthews. Kevin Matthews was the Loop DJ. And some of our listeners may have heard, and actually from St. Stanislaus Kostka, this church where we're at now here, to St. John Cantius, there was a huge procession with a statue that Kevin Matthews has made part of his new ministry. I guess what I'm leading to is it's strange, going back to my opening reference to Moses and the burning bush, you don't think of a 1970s rock and roll station DJ giving talks on how the Blessed Mother has helped him and changed him and made him better and made a mission trying to help other people get closer to the Lord. So I guess what I'm comparing is a 70s FM rock station DJ and a political person. Because I don't know what is rarer. Both kind of rare. And but there again, I think the theme... I don't know what it is either, but my theme, and for you who are listening, and you're those of you who are faithful listeners to The Winds of Change, this great little radio hour full of Catholic input, as it were, Catholic dialogue and meditation, is to encourage everyone to pray the rosary with a little more devotion, with a little more... emphasis, a little more commitment, responsibility. You were saying, Mickey, say something a little bit about that. You see a little connection between praying the rosary and what your day job is in terms of your business with helping companies organize their action, what have you. You said something like, the rosary is a commitment.
It's an activity management tool.
And
that's the business I'm in, actually, Father. I have a company called Sales Activity Management. Yeah. But it's all based on activity management, which is based on a biblical concept or principle of Galatians 6:7, as in whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mm-hmm. I learned that you can't manage time, you can only manage activity. But the cool thing about the rosary
I never thought of the rosary as an activity management tool.
Well, we're fickle, we're fragile, we're human, we get off track, and the cool thing about it is it does help you stay focused. And now we all know that we should pray the rosary, and it's a good idea, and we get closer to the Blessed Mother. And a lot of Catholics may not buy into that, but I can tell you, for anyone listening to this station, there are some other benefits to praying the rosary that could help you out in every aspect of your life. Because it is a goal-setting tool by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a clear beginning and you have a clear end.
You say, I'm going to pray the rosary.
Exactly.
Today.
Decade by decade.
Yeah.
And it teaches you, the rosary actually teaches you how to set goals and how to achieve them. And it makes you feel good about yourself. You know, if you pray the rosary and you've completed, especially if you do it consecutively, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, it makes you feel good about yourself. And
you just said that. I never thought of that in the sense that when I do the mysteries and I get them right, I feel good about myself. I say, oh yeah, I memorize those. If I could get through, because again, sometimes I think when the good Lord was passing out brains before we were born, I thought he said trains, and I said, I'll take a slow one. It's an old Fulton Sheehan joke, I think it was. But it's easy to forget.
It's easy
to forget the mysteries. And we were talking with some of the ladies of our Altar and Rosary Society. And, we said, okay, who's going to lead the rosary? And as soon as you ask that question, who's going to lead the rosary? People put their heads down and start sinking and say, don't pick me, don't pick me. And primarily, we don't want to be picked because we're not sure if we remember the mysteries of the rosary to lead. So it's a common kind of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But you have even like mnemonic devices to help you remember not only the mysteries of the rosary, right? Like the joyful, sorrowful, luminous, glorious. But you were saying as you got to know the rosary better and you wanted to know it better, in the beautiful book that some of our listeners may know about Pray the Rosary, which is by Father Peyton, or at least this one is, the preface is, this little book that I'm looking at is a famous one. I've seen it, a lot of people have it, I think. There's a preface by Father Peyton, and some older Catholics would remember that name because in the early days of radio, he would have the Pray the Rosary on the radio, and he coined the phrase, the family that prays together stays together. But in this book, as you announce the station, there is a petition or a meditation that you're going to ask God for something.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this little book in my hand, and the listeners are just going to have to believe me on this, but Mickey does not have the book in his hand. So I'm looking at the fifth sorrowful mystery.
Crucifixion?
The crucifixion, right.
Isaiah the Great's final perseverance.
And the book has the little intention. What do you mean by the desire? I desire the grace of final perseverance.
And
what you're supposed to think of your death at that time, the grace of final perseverance.
I think the perseverance they're talking about is believing in Jesus.
Well, that would be included, but final perseverance refers to even at the end of your life, the devil may want to come and steal your soul,
right.
And so you pray for the grace to persevere till the end. The end of your life. I'm going to say on the radio what my mother is precious. She's still with us, 92 years old, though she's getting weaker and weaker. And she has been such a precious mother to us as children, but then so many other people, and so devoted to our Blessed Mother. I've told her a few times, Mom, when it's your time for the good Lord to come and take you home, I think the Blessed Mother is going to appear to you. Because that does happen to people at the very ending stage.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It is a brain wrinkle. It is a brain wrinkle.
And about those mysteries and meditations, I found the calling to memorize every one of them, word for word. Every preposition, every petition for all mysteries, and to do it without looking at the book. It took me about a year or two to memorize it.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But I will say, I've still never said it perfectly. It's because there's so much involved in the rosary. You never say it quite perfectly.
Yeah.
But you don't. But that's we're not right. Perfect.
That's right.
We're not supposed to say it perfectly.
God's not looking for that exactly.
You know? No. But the rosary is a helps you build your accountability muscle.
Yeah. You know what? Nick is looking for another break.
Okay.
So we just got to You just stay tuned, my friends.
We're going to wrinkle some brains next.
We're going to, indeed. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You are listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Pro-Life Action League has a few remaining slots for their Sidewalk Counseling Training Seminar on Saturday, October 26th from noon to 5 p.m. at the Sacred Heart Church Parish at 114 South Elizabeth Street in Lombard. The cost is $10. To register, visit prolifeaction.org/sidewalk. That's prolifeaction.org/sidewalk.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
If you live in the city of Chicago, aren't you a little tired of not having your child in school? If this is you, please listen to the following announcement. St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, by our highly educated and dedicated teachers, your gifted child will be at a higher and deeper level of thinking and conceptual understanding, so they will have a full comprehension of what they're learning in any subject. St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent, learn, lead, love. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in with us. Father Coyes here with Mickey Straub, who has a website, I think, called Mayor Mickey or something like that, right? That's the way you can check out more about him. Interesting life that he's has lived up to now and is living. And I think, Mickey, that God is starting things. Starting some almost a new chapter, something new is still coming along. But we were talking about the rosary and how it helped you. You probably wouldn't have gotten through being mayor, right? Because it gave you strength, gave you that humility, gave you focus, you meditate with the words of the prayers, primarily, obviously, Our Father, mm-hmm. and Hail Mary, of mm-hmm. course. Then, obviously, there's the Apostles' Creed and the Hail Holy Queen and all that, the beautiful mysteries and the meditations. You want to share with our listeners some insights, you know, after you can memorize the words of the Hail Mary and Our Father, but you take it another step. And the structure of it. You get meaning out of the structure of it. And
right.
What are some of those insights that you've received?
And the additional realization that I've gotten is that if we do put more into the prayers and get to know the prayers better, we'll enjoy praying the rosary more.
Yeah.
And it's so repetitive. A lot of people complain that, oh, it's just so repetitive. Well, it's really not if you focus on the words and the messages and picture what's happening. Now, that first happened with the Our Father. I noticed there's a similarity the Our Father has to the Gettysburg Address after having just completed the trip, a month earlier, that the Gettysburg Address has no I's or me's in it. The word I or me does not appear, but there's 10 we's, 3 us's, and 2 ours. So 15 times Lincoln was trying to bring us together, which was pretty historical and phenomenal for
during a Civil War.
A political speech, too, from a politician. That is only 10 sentences, 272 words, but it was he was trying to unite us like no other speech, before or since.
Yeah.
And I picked up on the Our Father, too, that there's, and I've asked many a priest this, And I've never met one that knew the answer. I'll say, Father, you know the Our Father? Yeah, I know pretty well. Well, you know pretty well? Yep, sure do. Well, how many sentences are in it? And there's usually a deaf silence. And sometimes people know it and they don't. And if, you know, for those of, you know, in the Catholic version, I say it's just, we don't say the, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of the end.
Right.
If, you know, so how many sentences? Well, what's the second half begin with? And yet people have to think about it. And it's give us a stay. If you count three sentences, if you count amen as being the third sentence by itself, it's broken up into three sentences. And that was kind of an aha moment that when I focus on when, you know, the verses of it, I was more present.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my first realizations. And my second was, going back to the Gettysburg Address, that there's, you know, I'll ask many priests, you know, what's the most repeated word in the Our Father? And now you and I have talked about it before. And,
that's right.
And you know, it's us. And it appears five times. You think that people, because it's almost 10% of the 56 words that are in the Our Father, that people would know that off the top of their head. But when now and next time you say the prayer and you focus on us, it's like when you buy, you know how when you buy a new car, you don't notice that car until you buy it and then obviously you notice there's a bunch of other ones on the road?
Yeah.
When you pay attention to the word us, and they're all in the second half, we're asking for four things, to give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us, and then there's trespass against us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that helped me focus more on the words, because I'm probably most like most guys, I have a little bit of tension, you know, deficit syndrome, but the focus on it, I go realize it's give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us, trespass against us.
Yeah, and that's a father is concerned about his children. That it is a fact. Maybe you've heard me say this every now and then. I'm pretty sure I've said this on the radio here. Is that our Father is such a powerful prayer. I could see it being declared the national prayer of the United States of America. We have a lot. We have a national flag, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We have a national bird, the eagle. We have what else do we have national wise? When you go to Washington D.C., there's the national everything. I went to college out there in Washington D.C. We used to have a joke. We'd see so many things named the national fountain, the national. We'd say, okay, would you put this piece of garbage over into that national treasure trash can over there? There's so many national things, but we don't have a national prayer. And I think it would be it's such a powerful prayer. It would be what would help us recover a deep and true sense of what we mean by our religious roots. And it would do two things.
Wow.
It would unite.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
All Protestants could pray the Our Father, of course. All Catholics could pray the Our Father, of course. There's even, I believe, Jewish people can't. There's nothing in the Our Father that should be offensive to a Jewish person.
And so many people I know in other religions, whether it be Buddhism, Islam, Zoroastrian religion, the oldest religion in the world,
yeah.
We all believe in one God. So to your point, it
could be a beautiful national. I shared that idea with Congressman Bill Lipinski, who many people from Illinois here know, and he's a frequent visitor to my church, actually. And he sort of chuckled, and I know it's a fantastic idea, but maybe on with President Trump, who's often trying to bring about a greater sense of our Christian heritage, he might. As a matter of fact, his wife prayed the Our Father once at a function that was. So that's just beautiful. I do think it would help Muslims because there would be some imams who would object to the Our Father because it implies a relationship between us, the creature, and God, the creator. Many interpretations of Islam requires you to not believe that a relationship, especially a filial relationship, or even a loving relationship is possible with Allah. So that there, it would challenge them in the right way to see the God that has been a part of the United States the American history.
Well, I don't know if that'll, you know, as you mentioned, you prefaced it by saying it's probably not going to happen. You used a 25-cent word. I'm not quite sure what you used, but it was. Don't know that'll happen. But the other thing I'd like to point out to the listeners is that when I realized this commonality, this most repeated word in the Our Father is Us, it dawned on me. I posed a question to myself: why did Jesus teach us a selfish prayer if the prayer is all about us? Until several months later, I realized there's five references to God in the first half. If you count our Father and who as being two, and three thys, thy name, thy will, thy kingdom. So it is a perfectly balanced prayer, to your point about putting God first and pointing to him first. We're praying to him first, and then we're asking for petitions and asking for his blessings.
Yeah, and to get siblings to think of us instead of me is pulling them out of their selfishness.
Yes.
And that's what God the Father wants us, the children, to think of us as us,
yes.
And not just as me.
Yeah.
I think I've shared this with my listeners too before, but Scott Hahn, who is a wonderful convert to Catholicism from Presbyterianism, who's now one of the great premier Catholic theologians in the United States here, he has a series about salvation history. And as he goes through the Bible from Adam and Eve through Abraham and Moses and King David, and he establishes seven different covenants. And each of those covenants refers to a different level of family, where the family idea grows exponentially bigger. And obviously, Adam and Eve, where the Adam is the family of the biological family. You get to Abraham, who's the father of a great tribe, a lot of people. You get Moses, who becomes the father of a nation, Israel. And you get David and Solomon, who become fathers sort of an international community, because other nations were coming in awe and wonder. And you finally get to Catholicism, which is a universal family. And each one of those seven layers, levels, has a father figure in it. The Pope being the Holy Father of the universal family. In the national identity, you have founding fathers. in a biological family, you have dad, or the father. And even in a tribe or an extended family, I often share that word with my mother when the extended family gets together, like at a wedding or a baptism or a family reunion, there usually are a few matriarchs or patriarchs that dominate or that call the people together, that are a little bit, that are more of the spiritual heart and soul of that extended family. And so it's a beautiful meditation on just the idea of what our Father means, and Jesus trying to push us to that. Scott Hahn in one of those.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
The reason I say Muslims in the United States would maybe have a difficulty with praying it as a national prayer is because Scott Hahn gave a talk. He was going to debate with an imam, and Scott Hahn began. He said, well, let's start. I'm going to start like I always do with a prayer. And he said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The imam stopped him right there and said, I won't have you blaspheme in my presence. And Scott Hahn said, what do you mean? He goes, it's blasphemy to call God Father. What do you mean? Well, God is completely other. You don't have a father-son relationship with God. God is completely, he's infinite. He's the creator of the universe. He's totally beyond us. He's transcendent. You can't call God Father. And he says, well, we do. So well, it's been interesting.
Having been in politics, we know we can't please everybody. And that would border on the subject that we talked earlier. And I know you're going to probably cover in the next segment is about we want to stay away from a state religion, because that dog ain't going to hunt.
Not a state religion, but a better understanding of the relationship between state and religion.
Yes.
That's what I want to talk about.
That'd be great.
We'll come back. We're quickly running out of time, but we'll get one more break here. Nick, tee it up. You are listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coyes. This is WNDZ.
Join us for the Medical Professionals Mass on Sunday, October 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. A special blessing will be given for all medical professionals through the intercession of our parish patron, St. Stanislaus Kostka. Invite all those who work in medical professions, whether among your family or friends and neighbors, as well as your personal doctors, plus those who work in their offices, to the Medical Professionals Mass Sunday, October 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, inviting you to join the 2020 Theology of the Body Institute on the ultimate pilgrimage, walking and praying in the footsteps of Jesus. Join myself,
Christopher West,
Father Justin Brady,
Jason Clark,
and the TOB team as we visit Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Via Della Rosa, Bethlehem, and more.
The 2020 TOB Institute's Holy Lands Pilgrimage, Saturday, February 15th through Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, with an optional extension to Jordan, February 25th through the 27th. While you're on the 2020 TOB Pilgrimage, you'll have first-class hotel accommodations, air-conditioned tour buses, breakfast and daily dinner, plus special meals, daily formation with Christopher West and chaplains. For complete information and registration for the 2020 TOB Institute's Holy Lands Pilgrimage, visit tobpilgrimages.com. That's tobpilgrimages.com. Or call 1-800-842-4842. Reserve now.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in. It's been a fascinating hour, as I always enjoy this hour with you. I hope you do as well. You know,
if you just wrinkle my brain, man.
Yeah, it is a brain wrinkling hour. And you know what? You can obviously get podcasts too. I know it sometimes it's very difficult to just break your day at, especially noon at the lunch hour. You're busy with so many things. Do what I do and listen with podcasts. you can find the Winds of Change in a website. Our parent website is Podbean. B-E-A-N, and you look for the Winds of Change. Or you could just sign up to my Flock Notes. I send out an email to my friends. I got about 1,000 people on my friends list. So each week I send a link to the podcasts. If you want to do that, you can easily send me an email to unlikeothernations@gmail.com. And I'll get you on the list. So we're talking about the rosary. We're talking about increasing our love and dependence, our responsibility to pray the rosary. I think we should even think of it as a responsibility, because our Blessed Mother said so clearly, do this, and it will help not only you, it'll help the world. She connects it to world peace. Mm-hmm. It's a strange way of working for world peace, but maybe not so strange. Maybe it is. Mickey, you were saying too, we're talking about the analyzing the words of the rosary, because sometimes people will say, it's too repetitive, right? And how do you respond to that kind of...
It does feel repetitive, but I think I'm going to give everyone two tips on how to get more out of the rosary, or maybe an easier way of praying the rosary. And that is that you start with getting to know the Hail Mary. I say, well, you know the Hail Mary. Well, you ask it once again, how many sentences are in it? Most people don't know this stuff. Mm. It's Hail Mary, Blessed Art Thou, and Holy Mary. It's three sentences, or at least three verses. There's 42 words in it. And if you focus on the words, like when you... First off, when you pray the Hail Mary, think about what you're talking about. Like the first scene with Angel Gabriel, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And picture Angel Gabriel meeting Mary. You know, do it with your eyes closed if you want. And then the next segment is with, you know, the cousin Elizabeth. You know, And blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And think of what that looked like back then. And the third segment, I try to focus on Mary herself. When you say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Now it's, so when you focus on and as you're praying the Hail Mary that many times, 10 times, repeat in your head the first two words of first two or three words of each verse. You start by saying, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed are the ones you. And then, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. As you do that, it breaks up the Hail Mary. It's less monotonous.
You're sort of like underlining two words at each of the different times.
Yes. Flashing on a computer screen or a typewriter or your handwritten. Yeah. Picture the words.
You mean emboldened. Emboldened,
yes.
Jumping out at you.
So if you do that, like do three times, do focus on the Hail Mary. And then the next three times you say the Hail Mary, focus on the Blessed Art Thou.
Do you have an insight when you think of the words Hail Mary? We don't use hail so much. That's sort of a leftover, old-fashioned word. Because when you see someone on the street, you don't say hail, you say hi.
Well, actually, that brings up another topic, that there are more references to Jesus in the Hail Mary than there are to Mary. Mm-hmm. You have Hail Mary and Holy Mary, Mother of God, three tenably, then thee, thou, and thy, so count six. But you probably wouldn't be saying even back then, hail somebody unless she was attached to who?
Jesus. A king.
A king, mm-hmm. Probably a king. So even if you don't count
hail
that one.
Hail Caesar is the one you
think
of.
Oh, you're right.
You know,
you're absolutely right.
You say, hail Caesar.
In that case, there are eight references to Jesus. Because you would not say blessed art thou unless she was attached to Jesus.
Right.
And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Fruit is Jesus.
Right.
So there are more references to Jesus in the Hail Mary, which I love telling my non-Catholic friends when they criticize us for praying the Hail Mary. It's not about Mary. The prayer has more reference to Jesus than there is the Hail Mary. So if you focus on the words, you'll get a lot more out of it, and you'll enjoy praying the rosary more.
Yeah. We don't have much time left, but I'm going to maybe pique someone. We were going to try to end with, if you wanted to, you said a very interesting thing about visiting Washington since your political side and all that. There's two monuments, one to Thomas Jefferson and one to Martin Luther King. And you said there's something radically different, and this I want to lead to future shows if we can get you back.
This was shocking because they throw out Thomas Jefferson saying, separation of church and state, et cetera, as if it's a bad thing. But there are a lot of references to God in the Jefferson Memorial, but there are none to God in Martin Luther King's memorial, his brand new one that was built during the Obama administration. He was a minister. No reference to him being a minister or reverend. No reference to God. I believe someone in the Trump campaign is trying to fix that, or the Trump administration, because it should be fixed. He was a God-loving man, and I'm shocked that the community has allowed that to happen.
He was a family-loving man. He was a marriage-loving man, a pro-life guy. All these things that are
no just, reference to God in it. And I hope they can change that. Yes.
Yeah. I really think, and I know many of our listeners know, we're going through, like I made reference, there's a civil war of sorts going on, spiritual, theological, political. Let's pray it doesn't become bloody.
My Lord.
Though I
such
think
destruction.
There's so much. And, I think the civil war is somewhat bloody because it includes the battle over the right to abortion, and that's bloody. So, but we need to bring back the proper relationship between church and state, and what I think we need to analyze religious freedom in our modern world today. Anyways, God bless you. Thank you for being with us, Mayor Mickey. I'm Father Tom Coyes. Thank you for listening, everyone. You've been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred.
time is now.